Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of the importance of becoming a regular, systematic reader of the New Testament. I'd love to repeat everything I've already said up to this point because this is so much on my heart, but it's already Tuesday. The greatest gift you can give yourself is to become a regular reader of the New Testament, a regular systematic reader. That means read it from the beginning to the end, over and over, without skipping verses, without jumping around, without stopping to look up all the words you don't understand. Just read it through. Understanding comes with familiarity. And in this series of lessons, all that I'm trying to do is to give you reasons why you need to do this. We have in our hands a book from God, the written word of God. It's a supernatural book with the potential to produce real change in us and in our lives, but we don't utilize it because we don't understand its purpose or how to use it. So we're taking time to remedy that problem. And what I want to focus on this week is another reason why becoming familiar with God's word is so important. Why becoming familiar with God's word through regular systematic reading of the New Testament is so important. It's because it's protection from deception. We live in a time when the return of Christ is very near, and having protection against deception is probably more important than it's ever been. A couple of days before Jesus was crucified, he had already shared with his followers that he would not at that time establish the kingdom. He would come back to do it, to establish the kingdom of God on earth. And before he returned to heaven, he told his followers that they were supposed to go out and he told his followers that the kingdom of God would spread through the proclaiming of his word. He was going to go back to heaven and they would go out and preach the kingdom and spread the word of God, and that Satan would work to steal the word so that produces little or no fruit. You remember that? Matthew 13, Jesus told the parable of the sower sowing the word, and he talked about how the seed is the word and it lands on different types of ground. And he specifically said Satan comes immediately to steal it. Now there's whole lessons there for another day, but if you recall, the disciples warned, in fact, our key verse, this is where we started when we started this series. We looked at Acts chapter 20. Paul has what you might call a deathbed conversation with leaders of a church he established in a city called Ephesus. He established the church in Ephesus, and he was about to leave them, and he knew he would not see them again in this life. And he turned them over to the word of God. He commended them to God's grace and to the word of God, to God's care and to the word of God. But in that conversation, let me just read this. I'm in Acts chapter 20. Let me start in verse 28. Now, he's talking to leaders of the church filled with people that he led to the Lord, people that he loved and cared for. He spent 3 years with them, longer than he spent with any other church. This is the final instructions he's given these people face to face. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now listen to this. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul tells them, and then he goes on, let me read the last verse. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Lot in that, but here's the point for right now. He knew that their faith was going to be challenged, and he admonished the leaders of the church to watch themselves and to make sure they did what they were supposed to do. Let me reread verse 28. This is out of the 20th century translation. Shepherd the people, that is, tend and feed and guide the church, which he won for himself with the cost of his life. And then he warned them that after I go, ferocious wolves are going to come in, and men are going to rise up from amongst you, your own company, who are going to teach perversions of the truth. They're going to try to pervert the truth that I spent 3 years building into you. So I'm turning you over to the word of truth, the word of God, to keep you from that. You have to understand, this world is not as it should be. God made earth to be home for himself and his family. When Adam sinned, he took the human race resident in him, along with the home God made for the family, into the pig pen of sin, corruption, and death. Well, God immediately began to unveil his plan to undo the damage done and carry out his original purpose, which is to have a family of sons and daughters with whom he can dwell forever on earth. This plan to undo the damage is called redemption. Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago. He came to earth the first time to pay for sin so it can be removed from all who bow their knee to him as Savior and Lord, and a process of transformation can begin, which turns sinners into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God, and he's going to come again in the not-too-distant future and cleanse the family home and establish the visible kingdom of God on earth. Here's the point for our discussion. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, when he listened to the devil and disobeyed God, he gave up his God-given authority as God's under-ruler on this earth. He gave it to Satan, who became the god of this world, small g. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, calls the devil the god of this world. Jesus referred to the devil as the prince of this world. So a lot we could say there, though there's whole lessons for another day, but here's the point. Since that time, since Adam sinned and Satan became the god of this world, small g, he has done all that he can to thwart God's plan of redemption and try to prevent the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth so he can hold on to his control of man and the earth. He knows that the Lord Jesus will return to earth, and he's doing all he can to maintain his position of authority in the earth. And he has done this primarily through trying to stop the spread and the effectiveness of God's word. That's why Jesus told the parable of the sower sowing the word. Well, we're living at the end of this age, and the return of Jesus is very near. And the Bible tells us that Satan, in an attempt to hold on to the kingdoms of this world, is going to offer his counterfeit of the rightful king of earth. The rightful king of earth is about to return, but Satan is going to offer an anti-Christ, or in place of Christ. Anti means against, but it also means in place of. He's going to offer his counterfeit of the rightful king of this earth, his Antichrist, who's going to preside over a worldwide system that is going to try to oppose the second coming of Jesus. That's real. That's real. And when Jesus' disciples asked him what signs will indicate that his return is near, the very first thing he said to them was, take heed that no man deceive you. In Matthew chapter 24, it's only a couple of days before Jesus went to the cross, and he had already told his disciples that he was leaving them for a time, but he would be back. And they asked him, what will be the sign or the signs that your return is near? And the establishment of the kingdom is near. And he spent a good portion of Matthew 24 answering that question. But here's the very first thing he said to them. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He repeated that statement two more times. He gave a bunch of signs that will indicate his return is near, but the only sign that he repeated more than once was, take heed that no man deceive you, because there's going to be false messiahs and false prophets who will precede my return. Why? Why? To try to help Satan keep men from acknowledging the true God in the hope that he can hold on to his claim in this earth. And according to Jesus and according to the Apostle Paul, these people will have supernatural power. Let me read here. I'm still in Matthew 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, people sometimes misunderstand that verse. And they say, see, it's not possible for us to be deceived. It says, if it were possible. Why would he warn them about false Christs and false messiahs if there were no way they could be deceived? That doesn't make any sense. He warned them, take heed that no man deceives you, because there is the possibility that you will be deceived. These people are going to have a supernatural power or an influence bigger than themselves and the potential to deceive God's own people. To be deceived means to believe a lie. We live in a time when deception is rampant. It's like it's never been before, ever. And it, no surprise, Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. Deception is part of the end time scenario as the devil attempts to steal the word of God, to deceive people so that they do not acknowledge the true God, but instead acknowledge his false Christ in the hope that together the devil and his hordes working through men can reject and oppose the return of the rightful king to this earth. Your only protection against this deception is the truth. God's word is the truth, the written word of God. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.